I have the pleasure of introducing Laura Lunger this morning. Laura and her husband Bill have been longtime members at Bethlehem going downtown. They have four kids, two boys and two girls, ages 23 to 31. One of them's married, and I think, as Heather said, expecting a baby. So that's exciting. Laura has been involved in Bible Study Fellowship for many years, and recently was working with Athletes in Action and training their leaders on how to lead Bible studies. So she keeps busy with that. And I've gotten to know Laura a little bit more the last couple years. We serve on a Barnabas team together, and Laura is a wonderful woman and funny and a good cook, and she loves the Lord, and she's a prayer warrior, and so I'm really excited that she's here speaking this morning. So welcome, Laura.
Good morning. It's a privilege to be here with you all. One morning last summer, before my husband went to work, I said these very words to him. I am so anxious about, and then I shared something going on with one of my adult children. And then it was that afternoon that I get an email asking me to speak to you moms about fighting fear and anxiety. So God's timing is particularly ironic and humbling sometimes, isn't it? Don't you think? So you must know I'm not here as an expert or as a professional on how to conquer fear and anxiety. Thank you. I'm here simply as an older, thank you. That's very nice. Okay. Thanks. Okay. I'm here simply as just an older sister in the Lord who is been a mom for more than three decades and continues to still be fighting, yes, still fighting fear and anxiety that rise up in my own heart over things with my own kids. So you never stop having things to trust God for, do you? As new moms, there are so many changes and decisions and unknowns and new responsibilities that you have. You have this beautiful, precious, miraculous baby that's looking up to you to meet all of their needs in order to survive. That can feel pretty overwhelming at times. I remember crying when we left the hospital with my oldest, packing them all into that little car seat and taking all the back roads home because I was so nervous of what we were going to do with him. There are changes in your body. There are changes in your marriage. There's changes in your priorities now. There's changes in your routines, which can be pretty erratic at these times. And there are all these different questions on, do you breast or bottle feed? When and what solid foods do you introduce? What kind of schooling for your children? What kinds of activities should they be involved in? And what's the best way to discipline? For new and not so new moms, there's many questions, whether you're making the right decisions for your kids, and you often worry about making the wrong ones and wrecking them for life. We worry about our kids being kind. We worry about them having good friends, doing well in school, and above all, loving Jesus and living for his glory. We worry about the effect of the culture and how to best equip them to handle it. Sometimes our kids are sick and have special needs, and our life can take some pretty hard and unexpected turns, full of countless unknowns and anxieties. We can compare ourselves and our children with our friends, either in person or on the Facebook highlight reel. And we can feel we don't measure up or have what it takes to be a good enough mom. Paul says in his inspired word in 1 Corinthians 7, I want you to be free from anxieties. That's God saying that to us. I want you to be free from anxieties, and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. That's God's desire for us as moms. Anxieties distract us from our devotion to the Lord. They distract us from our Creator, who is all-powerful, all-wise, and all-sufficient for us. We really don't want to parent our kids out of fear and anxiety or out of the byproducts of legalism and people-pleasing. We want them to know that they have a good and faithful God. And the way that they're going to know that best is as they see their moms trusting God in all kinds of circumstances, in all kinds of trials. Trust is total reliance under stress and trial. The verb in our topic for this morning is really key, and it's fighting. We must fight fear and anxiety. We might never conquer it completely in this life, but we must keep fighting it. We must put into place a battle plan for the minute that fear and anxiety arise and we sense it, and have a process of resistance put into place. Many of the things I'm going to tell you about today hopefully won't be new to you, but they are new mercies every day. They are real resources, real weapons for all of us for a very real battle, and it has real results. Okay? The Lord is utterly faithful. We sang that this morning. Great is your faithfulness. He has proved it to me over and over again in my own life, and I know he will prove it to you as well. My aim this morning is to encourage you to fight fear and anxiety with a robust trust in our sovereign and good God through his promises, through prayer, through God's people, through praise, and through perseverance. Five P's that I hope you will be able to remember. God's promises, prayer, God's people, praise, and perseverance. Most of the time we're going to spend on the very first two, okay? These are not things just to do, to add to your busy to-do list. When we're struggling with fear and anxiety, it's like our faith is sick, okay? This is the prescription to restore your faith to health. Just like you would take the medicine that the doctor gives you, this is the medicine we take when our faith is weak and sick. Okay? But there's an additional P that I want to start out with and need to mention and don't want to take that for granted, and that is your physical bodies. We are all fearfully and wonderfully made, not just our little babies, we ourselves. Okay? Our physical health has a big part to play on our mental, emotional, and spiritual health. We're all tied together somehow. As mothers, we tend to take care of everything first, our kids, our husband, and then we're somewhere back in the rearview mirror. Okay? Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Okay? We need to take care of God's holy temple, which is your physical bodies. Okay? There are some important basics to keep in mind in order to do that. I'm sure you remember your mom telling this to you. You need to eat right. Get your protein and your fruits and your vegetables and your vitamins. Watch the caffeine and watch the sugar. It's hard to be a patient and peaceful mom when you have, you know, a pot of coffee surging through your whole system. Okay? Make sure you get your exercise. Walk and stretch and get outside and breathe the fresh air and just look up at the stars. I remember early on forgetting that there were even stars outside. Just going out there and go, oh, I forgot that there were stars. It's so good. And get some sleep. When you've got these little infants, take a nap when they do so that you can be refreshed when they wake up. It's your dishes and your laundry will be there after you get rested. So now let me start with asking you a question. What do you think is the definition of being a Christian? What do you think is the definition of being a Christian? J.I. Packer has one of the most beautiful definitions I've ever heard. He says, it is having God as Father. Very simple. It is having God as Father. Jesus Christ has removed the most serious and significant problem of your life. Okay? The thing that we should have the most anxiety over. it's removed, which is the righteous wrath of a holy, omnipotent God for your sins. And he has brought us into God's family, and God now is our Father, our good, faithful, loving, forever Father. Think about that glorious truth for a minute. What does it mean to you to have God as your Father? Well, you are fully known. You are forever loved. You have infinite provision. You are eternally protected. You are wisely led. You are perfectly comforted. You are beloved. You are welcomed, and you belong always and forever. You are free in Christ, and you are full of his Holy Spirit. So no matter what problem you are working through right now in your family, your Father in heaven knows all about it, and he loves you completely, unconditionally, and promises that nothing will ever separate you from his love. Your Father is a great King, and he promises that he will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. As I meditate on the character of my Father and on what it means for me to be his child, I can sense myself beginning to be quieted by his love. Can you? I become encouraged and strengthened in faith as I remember his utter faithfulness and his all-sufficiency for all that I need and all that my kids need as well. See, we are not orphans, okay? We have a good and a faithful Heavenly Father, and all the details of our lives are in his competent and wise care. He's always working for our good and on our behalf. I have a friend who says she thinks of her life as a letter from God. Dear Judy, here is her life. Love God. Isn't that a beautiful picture? God has given us his holy and mighty promises to completely rely on in order to stand firm and to fight the fight of faith. So in the midst of a mess in my own heart, I have to stop and think, what do I know about God? What is true? And so I rehearse many of the things that I just mentioned to you about who God is as Father. And I rehearse the gospel truth. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Sometimes I think through a book of the Bible, like Genesis, for example, and I go through, I'm like, Lord, you are the creator of all that is seen and unseen. You bring order out of chaos. You bring light out of darkness. You bring life just by the breath of your holy breath you breathed into us to bring life to us. The mighty God who created out of nothing surely has all the wisdom and the power and the resources to help me in whatever it is that I'm going through. Remembering this helps me keep my eyes on the power and not the problem. Sometimes I remember the names of God, the personal names of God, like, you are the God who sees me. You are the God who provides. You are the God who heals. You are my Savior. You are my righteousness. You are my good shepherd. You lead me beside still waters and into green pastures. You restore my soul. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You are the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. You are the bread of life. You are Emmanuel, God with us. Remembering God's names helps me keep focused on his intimate and personal care for me. I remember what these names mean and the circumstances in Scripture when God revealed himself by them, and then how they apply to me. It's such a faith-strengthening process. Sometimes I remember the miracles in Scripture, and there's so many of them. You make the bitter waters sweet. You make an axe head float. You parted the Red Sea and the Jordan River, and your people walked through on dry ground. You gave sight to the blind. You released the tongue of the mute. You even have a donkey speak. You fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. You still the storm. You calm the sea. Nothing is impossible for you. Absolutely nothing. And the point is, we moms need to know the word of God in order to depend on him like this. We need to remember it. We need to study it. We need to memorize it. We need to believe it. We need to apply it. We need to meditate on the living word of God. So no matter how great our trials are and the challenges, our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Our God is higher than any other. And he plans to bring us through and to hold us fast in them all. We need to know God's promises. And I know moms have really busy lives, and you're often sleep deprived, and your schedules are often unpredictable. My daughter, my oldest daughter, she didn't sleep through the night for at least a year. I thought I was like hanging on mental health with a thread. You know, it's difficult when they do that. But I also remember, you know, reading the Bible on the floor of my bathroom because that was the only 5 minutes that I had. I remember doing quiet times, during their quiet time, getting on my knees by my bed and doing my Bible study and not doing the laundry and not talking on the phone. I remember tucking my youngest when he'd hear me get up early in the morning thinking he was going to miss something, you know, just tucking him under a blanket, making him be still while I had my time with the Lord. And finally, he got bored with it, knew he wasn't missing anything. And playing scripture memory songs, which are still hidden in my heart after all those years. You know, the music and the memory and the verses help it really stick into your life. The Lord is really faithful, and he'll give you the creativity. He'll give you the desire. He'll give you the discipline. Just ask him for it. It'll look different for all of you, and it will probably change during your mothering, how much and when you'll be able to do it. But he's got so much good to give to you. So make the time. Ask him to help you make the time so that you can get all that you have from him. There's no glide and abide in this Christian walk, okay? It's a lie to believe that we have no time and we're too busy or that we can't meet or have any time in the Word. That is just plain a lie. Do you have 7 minutes? Most of us have 7 minutes, right? Spend the first 30 seconds just getting your heart ready before the Lord. Spend 4 minutes reading a passage slowly in Scripture, and then spend the last 3 minutes praying about what you read. That's a real easy way to do it. Set your phone timer and see about doing that. It'll be a discipline that will rock your world, change your family forever to do that. I have a little illustration. It has helped me when I've been tempted to get to my Facebook or get to something else ahead of time while the coffee's making. And it's a little illustration that somebody showed me early on about walnuts and rice. Okay. Let's say this is your day, okay? This is your day. This is all of your time. And the rice are all the things that you want to do or need to do or have to do. Like you've got to, you know, do the laundry. You've got to make the meals. You've got to do the carpool. You've got to do all that. And then the walnuts stand for the things that we would do that are eternal, that we would have our time with the Lord, that we would pray, that we would trust his promises, that we might memorize any scripture. You see, there's just not room, right? those of you over here, you just can't fit it all in. There's just not, it doesn't work. Okay, but let's just see what happens. Let's just see what happens. When you start the other way and put the Lord first. And believe me, you'll remember this tomorrow morning. So let's start our day with the Lord. Let's start with, 30 seconds to ready our hearts. Let's start with 4 minutes of reading scripture. Let's start with just 3 minutes of prayer. Let's start with maybe taking a promise and meditating on it and maybe singing a hymn or something, a little song. And then here's the rest of your stuff that you have to do, okay? And it's amazing how God has you fit it all in, and there's room to spare, okay? So start your day with God. You won't be sorry, okay? There's so many wonderful resources that are available today to make it even easier than before. You have the audio Bible that you can listen to. There's the Look at the Book. Have you ever checked that out? That's 10 minutes of gold if you could check that out. There's Bible apps on your phone that can bring up a verse for you to meditate or memorize. There's fighter verses in your bulletin that you can just snip out and tape to your sink or wherever you're going to spend most of your time cooking. There's Bible studies online and at church. Take advantage of them. There are so many promises that are especially helpful to me. On your table, I put out a list of them for different things. This is something that the Navigators has, is their Bible memory system that I've been doing, and it's been really fabulous to do, and you can just take one or two a week and meditate on that. You could take your 4 minutes and just meditate on one promise and try to memorize it for a whole week. It will get into your bones and give you strength. And when you feel anxious, you just remember that promise and you are going to be fortified in order to be stable and steady. Here are just some that have been particularly helpful to me. Isaiah 41:10 is my go-to for just about anything. I think I heard Pastor Piper say that once, and I thought if it's good enough for him, it's good enough for me too. So, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. When I get afraid about the spiritual condition of my children, they're older, and my husband will comfort me with Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. May that be so. When I need grace, just about any time, 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you will abound in every good work. That's perfect for Thanksgiving as you're preparing, right? Your grace is going to abound for all things. When I'm feeling weak, you have 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. I've got a verse that I use for Christmas. It's my peace verse. I don't know about you, but it's pretty hectic for me at Christmas time, being the mom. And that is 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Now, may the God of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all. That just goes for me at Christmas. I have a promise for my oldest son, and that's in Isaiah 43, that the flame will not set him ablaze and the rivers won't overfollow him. So that's my promise for him. Psalm 103 is a gospel psalm. If you ever can memorize a psalm, do that one. It is so great. Praise the Lord, O my soul, O my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things. That's gospel. That's so great. And it goes on and on with better and better and more and more. Time in the Word really, really, really makes a difference. Even when you're tempted to think it's not going to help or you're too tired, over and over, God brings life to us when we open his word. God's word and his promises are super powerful. They're the most important offensive weapon we have in the armor of God. My friend Judy gave me permission to share this experience she had when raising her small children. She remembers one time being so furious with her son and marching straight into her bedroom and just flopping the Bible open, okay, just to anything and reading it. Well, providentially, it fell to Matthew 18:11, which says, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of their Father in heaven." She was instantly convicted and didn't want the angels to give her a bad report. So she remembers repenting right then on her knees in her bedroom. God's word is living, it's active, it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. And a lot of that is for our own righteousness. Apart from him, we can do nothing. Do you believe that? Really, that apart from him, we can do nothing? That's what he says. So we need to be abiding in the vine, in Jesus the vine. All of our trials in your life and in my life, they're designed by God to draw us to a deeper dependence on the Lord and on his word. They're purposely designed for that. This brings us now to the second provision that God has given us for fighting fear and anxiety, and that is prayer. Jesus, by his perfect life and death and resurrection, has opened the way for us to be in the very presence of the living God. Isn't that overwhelming when you think about the access that God has given to us as his children and him being our Father? Don't you sometimes marvel and wonder at that great, great privilege? The author of Hebrews says, "Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." Philippians 4:5-7 says, encourages us to pray about everything. "The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." This is not a command. It begins with a promise. The Lord is at hand. That's why we don't have to be anxious. The Lord is at hand. He's as close as the mention of his name. That's a great prayer. Jesus. Okay? When I'm really struggling with swirling, repetitive, anxious, or fearful thoughts or emotions, one of the most helpful things for me to do is to just lay them all out before the Lord on paper or in a prayer journal. It really helps me to clarify and organize my thoughts because they'll just stay swirling up there and just pick up steam a little bit. Often I'll realize I don't have as many concerns as I once thought. Once I get them on paper, they'll be like, oh, is that really all I'm worried about? Once you see it. Sometimes I'm able to get at the root cause as what's causing the anxiety. And I'll find that sometimes it's a desire for control, and I'm just trying to solve or fix everything for everybody. Or I'm comparing myself or my circumstances to others, and comparison poisons contentment. Sometimes I'm focused on externals and worried about what others think. Or I'm justifying my own poor reactions, and what I really need to do is to confess and repent about them. Sometimes I'm just overscheduled and trying to please others or feel significant in some other way. Most often, my prayer journal is begins with a verse, you know, from my reading, and then I go on to talk to the Lord about what's on my mind and heart. Sometimes there's so much going on up there that I have to get that all out first before I can even hear what God has to say. So either way, that's how it works for me. From this passage in Philippians, we see that thanksgiving is really an important part of prayer. Gratitude really changes our focus. As we remember God's past faithfulness to us, we are encouraged then to trust him for future faithfulness to us. Pastor Piper explains in his book, Future Grace, how the promises of God's word and prayer work together to fight fear and anxiety. He says, suppose you are in a car race and your enemy, who doesn't want you to finish the race, throws mud on your windshield. The fact that you are temporarily lose sight of your goal and start to swerve does not mean that you are going to quit the race, and it certainly doesn't mean that you are on the wrong track. Otherwise, the enemy wouldn't bother you at all. What it means is that you should turn on your windshield wipers and use your windshield washer. The windshield wipers are the promises of God that clear away the mud of unbelief. And the windshield washer fluid is the help of the Holy Spirit in response to prayer. We read the promises of God and we pray for the help of the Holy Spirit to see our Father and to see the good eternal plans he has for us. As we see more clearly, our faith grows stronger and the swerving of anxiety smooths out. Isn't that a great picture? It's just mud that's been thrown on your windshield. So use your wipers and use the washer fluid of prayer, okay? In addition to these marvelous gifts of God's holy, living, glorious word and the staggering privilege to enter into his presence with any need that we have at any time, our Father has also given us his people, other believers, for mutual love and encouragement and strength in this Christian life. That's what you're doing here as moms. You're mutually encouraging each other in your faith. The other thing that is really helpful is your spouse. One of the greatest privileges is having a believing husband to pray with and depend on the promises of God with for your kids. That's the fruit that has come out of some tough trials in our family. Bill and I prayed a little bit now and then, early on in our marriage, but through the tough things that have happened with our kids, we've learned to pray mostly every morning and every night together for them. And that's been a really sweet thing. And we've seen the Lord do mighty things because of it. And I've learned to pray shorter prayers when I pray with him. So heads up, ladies. Meeting with couples are a couple of women. More than just this, but on the side, maybe a couple that you would trust or that God would put on your heart to meet with is really an incredible, powerful, life-changing strength to your faith. Trusted friends can be the reinforcements you really need in prayer and in faith when you feel you're starting to get weak. Like Aaron and Hur held up Moses' arms in prayer when his arms became too weak. Remember in Exodus when he was praying for the victory over the Amalekites and his arms couldn't hold them up anymore. And Aaron took one and her took the other one. That's what praying for each other's kids is like. And I see you holding each other's babies. Prayer is like holding each other's children close and holding the burden of prayer a little bit for each other. That's what it's like. You inspire, you encourage, you challenge, you uphold, you support, and then best of all, you're able to rejoice together as you see how God has answered and delivered on so many things that you've prayed for. So it just increases the joy when the answers do come. But one thing I just need to share, don't share the prayer request with anybody, even if you think you're doing someone a favor by asking more people to pray, unless you have someone's permission to do that, because it is really, it's disturbing when someone who shouldn't know your business ends up knowing your business. So just be trusted prayer warriors. Praise is another important way to fight fear and anxiety and to fortify your faith. Jesus says in Luke 19:40, I tell you, if they keep quiet, meaning the children when he was on the road to back to Jerusalem and everybody was Hosanna, Hosanna, Jesus said, if they keep quiet, even the stones will cry out. Okay. There's a great gospel song that I love that says, I ain't gonna let no rock out praise me. So we don't want to have any rocks outpraise us. He is worthy. And when we are praising him, our hearts are just fueled with faith when we do that. Worry and worship can't reside in the same heart. So if you find yourself becoming anxious, start singing a hymn or a praise song. I've got a little tune that's the names of Jesus that I go through in my mind to do that. Sing the doxology, or maybe there's a hymn from Sunday that you've got. There's one for Thanksgiving that's been in my mind for the last couple weeks. It's Give Thanks to the Holy One. Remember that one? Do you all know that? Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ his Son. And now let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I'm rich. I mean, this is just a great thing to be singing praises to the Lord. At a particularly difficult time in our family, there was a Chris Tomlin song, the God of Angel Armies. I sang that at high volume in the study, like pray cried it for like 40 minutes until I had the breakthrough from the fear that I was having. So whatever God uses in your life, even instrumental hymns can really soothe and quiet your soul. Just having it going on in the background in your home is really helpful. And then finally, let me encourage you with two scriptures to persevere in fighting the fear and anxiety. One comes from Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. We've all got different races to run. Let us look to him for the perseverance that we need to keep fighting for faith. And then James 1. And starting in 2, count it all joy, my brothers, when you see trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness or perseverance. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. All of this is to mature us in our faith. It's only on this side of heaven that we get to live by faith. One day, we will be in the very presence of God and our faith will be sight. So let us persevere in fighting against fear and anxiety by God's promises, through prayer, with God's people, through praise, and with perseverance. We are not God. We cannot control all the countless variables in life, no matter how much we try to stay on high alert to try to protect our kids and to provide for them. There's only one who is in complete control, and he is good, and he is your faithful father. So trust in him at all times, O moms. Pour out your heart before him. He is a refuge for us. Okay, sweets. Lord, I would like us to do an exchange. Whatever we put on our list of the things that we get anxious for, I would like this time to be an offering up of them to you. And to have, you are a God who does exchange. You exchange our sin for your righteousness, our rags for your robes of righteousness, our emptiness for your fullness. You've made us free in Christ. Help us to walk in that freedom. And in the place of our fear and anxiety, would you give us that robust trust? Would you give us that living hope? Would you give us a beautiful faith for our children to see and model their lives after? Would you be glorified in our responses, on our countenance, in just a settled peace within our hearts? Would you do that mighty exchange for us this day? And we give you the thanks ahead of time, and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.